Welcome to Team White. That image that you see on the screen there, that's a little bit of humor from the whites of South Africa. The blacks in Zimbabwe and South Africa are constantly talking about their war veterans. And their war veterans apparently carry some kind of clout with their stupid political system. Well, that photograph that you see there is of the South African Army, the SADF, in the days of apartheid, composed of white males. And that army was the greatest army in Southern Africa. And those white men kicked their enemies' asses, six love. So this little bit of humor here is to the African National Congress, that is Nelson Mandela's worthless dogs who rule this country. And this bit of humor from whites says, "Dear ANC, you're not the only ones with war veterans." And that army, for the record, fought in many countries. And in the 1980s, the late 1980s, that army fought the greatest battles in Africa that have been fought since the Germans and British fought in North Africa in World War II. Now, everybody out there in the Western world, and even some of the fools in South Africa, they turn around and they say, "Oh goodness, you whites of South Africa, you're outnumbered 11 to 1. By the blacks, you're all going to die." And my message to our enemies would be, don't count your chickens before they've hatched. Just because the white man has, for the last 26 years, been working as best as is humanly possible with you bunch of ingrates and worthless bastards, doesn't mean that the white man has lost his ability to hit you with his clenched steel fist. Just carry on kicking the white man in his teeth like you've been doing, and one day you might get a whole lot more than you bargained for. Last year, when I was in the USA in 2019, I was in the USA and Canada, and when I spoke to the people in those places, I said to them that there is a lot of right-wing activity in South Africa, but nobody in America or Canada had ever heard of any of these other groups. The only people they know about is the Zuidlanders. and they only know the Sidelanders, and they only know Simon Roche, the spokesman for the Sidelanders. And many even believe that Simon Roche is even the leader of the Sidelanders, which is totally incorrect, because their real leader is a guy called Gustav Muller. And I told people that there were lots of groups, and that one of the groups that I'd had contact with is the Boer Legion, for example. But I told them there were lots of groups, and there are even maybe tiny clandestine groups that have no name. And I said that there was a lot of right-wing activity that was going on in South Africa, but nobody had heard of any of these people. So today I'm going to introduce you to one of those people. And the guy that you see on the screen there, his name is Gavin Scrooby. He's actually Dr. Gavin Scrooby. And he's the guy that Alex and I interviewed. But before we go into the interview, I just want to show you a little bit of the background of Gavin and what he runs and what his group does. I originally met him at an officers' meeting of the Boer Legion last year. And Gavin is also an example of an English speaker in South Africa who's right in there with the Boer, and he's part and parcel of the Boers. And he identifies with them. So this is an example of your loyal racial white that we need more of. So his group is called Executive TACMED Group, and it says, "No limits, we strive where all others fail." And it says, "Our mission to train and provide unique tactical medical support in high risk and hostile environments to any potential local or international threat by supplying highly trained, multi-skilled medical practitioners who specialize in tactical CQB and tactical emergency medicine." Dr. Scrooby had been appointed as the Surgeon General of the Boer Legion, but later he broke away and formed his own group, and he's now part of a wider thing called the Boer Alliance. So you mustn't be fooled by the whites having all these different groups, because all of them get together and they still have formal alliances between themselves. They're all working together. It's just that there are differences in leadership and approaches, and it's just your normal thing of whites coming up with different ideas. But at the end of the day, all these whites are looking for exactly the same thing. Make no mistake about it. Anyway, let's continue. It says, "Our vision to provide a team of tactical or tactical emergency medical care practitioners who can handle any adverse situation with the highest level of medical and tactical expertise and professionalism in accordance to NATO standards." You will find out more about Dr. Scrooby in the interview, and you will find out that this man has got a lot of experience in a lot of things that will surprise you. And this is an example of the high quality of the white right wing in South Africa. The white right wing is no longer just low-end whites. You're now finding doctors, lawyers, engineers. You'll be astounded at the people that you will find in the white right in South Africa these days. It's no longer just a small group of beer drinkers. It's something totally different. And you're going to meet people who've got all kinds of successful backgrounds, and now they are sick and tired of the way that we're being treated. So just to continue, on this page here it says, "With South African background, Executive TACMED Group instructors have served their time in South Africa's defense forces, private military operators, and by that he means some of them have been overseas, some of them have been in Iraq, some of them have been with Blackwater. They've been around. They've been around. They know what they're doing. Operational emergency care practitioners, special task and reaction forces, combat medical technicians, and VIP protection units. They also have extensive ground and air CASEVAC experience, that's casualty evacuation experience, whilst working in Angola, DRC, that's the Congo, huge country in the center of Africa, Somalia, Burundi, Iraq, and Afghanistan, with over 100 years of collective experience in tactical CQB, tactical combat casualty care providers, and as combat medical technicians. Executive TACMED group instructors are highly qualified to select, train, and lead a team of tactical and tactical emergency medical specialists in any hostile environment. In other words, these are going to be doctors who care for people in a war situation. That's what this is about. These people are getting ready in the event that there's going to be fighting in South Africa. They're going to come and save people's lives on our side. Here is a video that quickly explains TACMED. And after this, the interview with Alex Linder, myself and Gavin will take place.
Hello and welcome to Team White. I'm Alex Linder here in the United States, Northeast Missouri, and with me today, as always, is Jan in South Africa. And today we have a special guest, Gavin Scrooby, who is a medical executive tactical expert from South Africa who has worked with the Boer Legions and now has his own group that offers medical tactical support to, I guess, any whites in South Africa who need it. He's also got a background with Blackwater and I believe executive action there, but we're going to get more about it. So welcome to the show, Gavin. Good to have you.
Thanks, Alex. Pleasure to be on your show.
Okay, the first thing I wanted to get from you overall, let's get the basics. So name Gavin Scrooby, G-A-V-N-S-E-R-O-O-B-Y. Now, what ethnicity is Scrooby?
Okay, I'm, well, it's supposed to be of English background, but I'm more of German than what I am English, so yeah.
Okay, unusual name, and your age also.
Okay, I'm now 53 years old.
53, okay. So, and you have a, well, let me ask just a general question overall. What future does the white man have in Africa generally, in South Africa in particular, do you think, assuming you've lived there your whole life?
Yes, I was born, bred and raised in South Africa. I've traveled extensively. You know, Alex, you talk about Africa and then South Africa. Africa, I can't tell you much is happening there. Africa is Africa, my friend. South Africa, different ball game altogether. I think you guys have heard quite a lot of what's happening in South Africa, that side. Well, going through the media, I can actually tell you it's a lot of bullshit. Because they just report on what they want to hear and they protect the other side. But we are preparing, and let me tell you something. If we go to war tomorrow, I can tell you now, we'll come out tops. Look, we've been through wars and that, and I think I've been through a few too many wars in my life. It's something you never want to see in your life. But I think this case, you know, if we take South African history, we actually basically the last of the military intake that fought in the Angolan War and that sort of thing. And we're the only ones that's got the knowledge today to be able to carry this thing forward. Because our generation that we're going to be leaving around, well, leaving behind, have got no experience on warfare at all. And this is one of the reasons why Executive TACMED was born. To be able to give the younger generation the just equip them with some tools and that sort of stuff that they can prepare themselves and they can defend for themselves. And they are doing extremely well at the moment. I'm impressed with our children of today.
Okay, so this is your group. After you were with the Boer Legion, you started Executive TACMED.
Group, correct, yes. We are a registered NPC, which is a non-profit society. And
what exactly do you do?
We actually go out and train the different units. Okay, I think let me just take a step backwards here, Alex. Yeah. What we basically do and we specialize in, when I left Boerelefie, I was appointed their Surgeon General. And then after establishing Executive TACMED Group, I was approached by the other, well, how can I say, groups and that sort of stuff that we've got. The AWB, the Boerelegioen, there's a whole lot of them that we've got, that we affiliate ourselves with.
Yeah.
And we are part of the alliance. Now, we've now found common ground. Now, everybody's got common ground. I think in the States, you've also got different people that are from different backgrounds and that sort of stuff. But once you break the walls down, all the foundations are the same. What they're standing for, they stand for white superiority, they stand for, and I am white, and yes, we are superior. And
Now, how many total, what kind of numbers are we talking about for all these different groups? How many groups are there and how many people in them, if that's possible to estimate?
Yes, I can give you a general idea of what's in there. I unfortunately can't give you the accurate figures.
Well, Jan seemed to be saying that once there was AWB, and then the leader of that died, and that splintered into others. But you're saying they're still basically on the same page. What would you say the numbers are?
Well, look, between us, we're about with the alliance is about 50 groups, and we are standing at around about 120,000 strong at the present moment. And it's growing every day. Since this lockdown, it's been growing.
Really, as if I may interrupt, has lockdown been pushing things up?
You know, you look at the, you can't, it's very difficult to compare us with the States. But if you watch the States coming out of lockdown now, they're opening up business and that. Okay, they're doing it yet too, but now they brought these levels in where they still trying to keep wraps on us, trying to keep us at home. No alcohol, no tobacco. I mean, Alex, if you're caught in this country with tobacco, you're in shit. So they're infringing on our rights now as well. But, you know, it's like I've been saying, they keep on pushing and they keep on pushing. They're like a little kid. They can't get away and they'll continue gnawing at something. So they pushed us in the corner. They've seen, oh, well, like we're getting away with it now. Let's try something else. And so it's getting. But what they don't know is they are pushing our flipping, our tempers up at the moment. And this is the thing that we're trying to, how would I say this now in English? We are trying to calm ourselves in a way because we don't want to fire the first shot. We want them to fire the first shot. Because if we fire the first shot,
yeah,
everyone, and these blacks in this country have all been to school, they've all had a drama, and they know how to put the pity party on with the rest of the world and show this innocent face to turn around to the rest of the world and say, yeah, for years you've been looking at us and blaming us. Now look what the farmers have done now, or the Buddha have done in South Africa. And you know, the funny thing is I see the exact thing happening in the States now at the moment. And I think you can, whatever happens in South Africa is a mirror image of what's happening there. Luckily, they're the minority that side. They're the majority this side. But we are definitely going to win this thing, hands down. I can guarantee you that. You know, we have our garden on our side and we got no hassle with that. We know our faith is strong and we're definitely going to push through on this. So with Executive TACMED now, we've come in with into the alliance where we're basically training the guys up medically. Because you must understand, with lockdown now, it's given us a opportunity to reflect and see what is actually happening. The hospitals that we've got here are jam-packed. All the hospitals in this area is making so much money out of this COVID-19 thing. It's just a lot of bullshit. And I mean, we've already got doctors that you go in there and you died from natural causes, and they sign you out that you died from COVID-19. So somebody's getting a lot of money somewhere along the line.
Yeah, that's what's happened in the U.S. for sure.
And you know what, Alex? You know, the people that from the medical fraternity can crucify me with what I'm about to say now. But you know what? They're making damn money out of this thing. So why should they worry about it? I mean, South Africa now, if I go into hospital now and they suspect me of COVID-19, it's 150,000 rand admission.
Yeah.
And we haven't even talked about if I need to go under a ventilator. So this thing can run up into hundreds of thousands of money. And I mean, our rand as it is now is worth shit. So they're coining it. So they're going to keep quiet and they're going to run this cash cow as best they can. America is exactly the same, my friend.
Yeah, they reimbursed at very high rates if they claim it's COVID-19, and much higher even if they put them on a ventilator, for sure. But
yeah,
same scam. Yeah. So how many main groups would you say there are? So you're saying there's 100,000, and this is sort of civil defense or like National Guard type stuff, or
most of them are all ex-military. That are actually around, that has joined the different groups. Look, we've all got our different backgrounds. We've all got our specialities. But, you know, when it comes to war, you need everybody. Even if you're a chef, we're going to need you.
And okay, that's how you think there's going to be a race war? And when do you think it might happen? Or do you think it can be worked out peacefully somehow? Let them separate like Urania or something?
Well, okay, so we separate everybody. We find a common ground to stand on for our generation that we leave behind just to go through what we're going through now. I don't think that's going to happen, Alex. Let me tell you what is going to happen. And you can basically, well, you're recording me tonight. So you've got something to fall back on.
Yeah, I want to hear what you think is going to happen.
I can tell you what's going to happen. The ANC is segregated now at the moment. Okay. So basically what's happening, we're already starting to see in-house fighting and bickering that's going on there. Soon, basically what's going to happen is you're going to have the blacks at each other's throats very soon, and that's going to spill over to the whites. And that's what we're waiting for. We are ready, we are primed, and we're just waiting for that day to happen. And believe me, we'll climb in. But regardless what the rest of the world says, we ain't going to listen to nobody. You know what I mean? We're going to get in, we're going to eradicate these damn bastards, and we're going to take it from there. Well, because they're a menace.
If I can interject, I'm glad to hear that. I want to ask you a question. This is pretty blunt, but you guys understand that the USA whites here are completely brainwashed, and most of them would rather see you guys wiped out. Because I see people from South Africa constantly saying, oh, no one's paying attention, our farmers being killed. And you got to understand, most of the whites here are so brainwashed, they think you deserve it.
Yeah, well, they would say that, because they're sitting that side. All they can remember is the years that we were during apartheid. But you must understand, the rest of the world didn't have to deal with these barbaric things that we got here in this country. These things are still jungle bunnies, man.
Yeah.
You know, they're uneducated. They had an education system, exactly the same education system I've had, that I went through.
Yeah.
But they were too darn lazy to go to school, and they didn't learn. And basically what's happened is, Alex, is they forged ahead. They went and studied internationally because they were in exile. And who was training them? They were trained by the Cubans. They were trained by the Chinese. They were trained by the Russians. And all that socialism and that ideology that they learned, they brought back here. Now, yeah. I mean, let's face facts, Alex. If you look at the ANC government, what age group do they fall in? They fall from 65 years up to 83 years old. These are a bunch of oxygen thieves here that are pinching our oxygen in this country. And what are they doing? They're trying to push on their own values. The flippant Chinese are coming into this country now the way they just please. They start things going on. I mean, come on, let me let you into something else. We had 200 Cuban doctors land here 3 weeks ago.
Ah, yes. Huh. That's
amazing.
Who gave them the right to practice in this country? We got to go through the Healthcare Professionals Council. I tried to get in with them, but because of my background, they refused to look at me because I was part of the old apartheid regime that tried to annihilate them. So you get blackballed by them. And it's quite a stringent thing to get onto them, because if you don't have that HPC number behind you, so which is your practice number, how do you practice in this country? Now, I'm asking them, how do those Cuban doctors practice in this country? And they're coming in as general practitioners. Come on, guys.
If I may interject a bit, Alex, the Cubans were allied with the blacks, and the Cubans came into Africa basically to come and form an army that basically was going to be the army that was the key portion of the army of the blacks and the Soviets. So the Cubans came into Africa. They got a Russian general who was in charge in Angola. And the Cubans, the Russians brought in 11,000 officers and advisors. And there were even some Eastern Europeans here. And Alex, all of these people came into Angola basically to beef up the blacks, because if they didn't do that, South Africa would have destroyed the black communists in Angola. And so from the heavy fighting that took place in the 1980s, these blacks of South Africa, the ruling party, the ANC, they love the Cubans. And in the past, they've brought in these bloody Cubans here into South Africa. And the last time they did this, I remember many years ago when Mandela was in charge, he brought in some Cuban doctors. And Gavin, at the time, I recall reading that they said that the average Cuban doctor was his skill base was so pathetic that he was equal to a South African nurse. He wasn't even equal to a doctor. So when you see the Cubans coming in, that's ANC bringing in their old communist bum chums.
But Jan, you know, you're also failing to say that South Africa sends a lot of the black doctors to Cuba for training. Those guys go through a 5-year intensive training. No, that's happened. It's been on our news. Do a bit of research on it. You'll see it. I mean, the Cubans are even in there fixing our military vehicles.
Wow.
I mean, come on. We're sitting with the power here in this country. We're sitting with the brain power. But the whites are totally segregated. So basically what they've done, they've come into power now and they've just reversed the racism. That's all they've done. And I challenge anybody. I'll give you the proof. I've got the proof. Yeah, how much you want? I'll give it to you. I'll flood your computer with it. And you've got these people going sitting in Cuba now. Some of them are sitting the 8th, 9th year, costing us taxpayers millions. So it's a cash cow somewhere along the line. These guys came into this country now as general practitioners because they are specialists in their field, supposed to be, on COVID-19. So how did they become specialists when this thing hit the world all at one time? I mean, this is not COVID-19. Come on, guys. This is SARS. I mean, this is the old SARS virus that's been flipping mutated over the years because you get the likes of the FDA and those type of things, which we also adhere to under our laws, that they are running tests on people and ferrets and stuff like that that aren't been documented properly. A common cold that they give antibiotics. That give antibiotics. And you start bumping your body with antibiotics and stuff like that, immune boosters and stuff like that that they're giving today. Inoculations and stuff like that. That's absolutely mutated. But they're just making, somebody's seen a big cash cow after this thing, and this is where it's running. So, and people say to me, I don't know what I'm talking about. I had fun with that. You said that. Why did 3 years did Bill Gates already tell you what was going to happen? Because he knew what was going to happen. And this is why the United States is actually fighting him now at the moment. So if we look at these things in many ways, there's a lot of things here, guys. We just got to open our eyes. My eyes are open. I'm looking from all angles now, different things that I'm seeing. And the more I open my eyes, the more things I'm seeing. And the more the truth is coming in. You know, so, these are things like Alex, you were saying about the farmers. They only know what happened here pre-apartheid. You know what I mean? They don't know what's happened afterwards. And the rest of the world thinks we deserve what we're getting. Well, if the rest of the world thinks we deserve what we're getting, that's fine. Leave us alone. Let us fight our fight. We'll fight. But let me tell you something. When this is all finished, we'll see what the rest of the world has to say when they've got to come back on the crew groveling here to try and stake the interests out in this country. Americans have got a lot of interest in this country. Britain's got a lot of interest in this country. Germany is just such a big round after our stuff and the minerals and stuff that we got in this country.
So you think the blacks are going to break down among themselves and then start a war at some point?
No, it's going to happen. It's going to happen soon. It's already starting. There's councillors in different areas that are being murdered. Mm-hmm. It's already starting to happen. Slowly but surely, it's starting to happen, Alex.
What's the main disagreement among the blacks?
I'll tell you what it is, because they're not part of the cash cow. And somewhere along the line, somebody is asked to get in, and with the government tenders and stuff like that. You know, the first thing when you go in for a government tender, the first thing they ask you is, do you have any ties to that company is tendering? No, or yes, or whatever. Then sorry, it gets rejected. Does any of your family members? Doesn't happen, yeah. Now, somewhere along the line, somebody gets a little bit more than what the other one's supposed to get, and then he gets bumped off. So they're playing right into our hands at the moment. Oh, yeah, no. They get shot, eliminated, whatever you want to call them. The only thing I haven't seen is for a long time is the necklace thing. That would like to see. That'll be a nice make popcorn and sit and watch the show, brother.
Okay, so right now what they're doing is what? They're attacking whites who live on farms that are kind of rural. And that's got government backing, you think?
This has definitely got government backing. You know, Alex, we've already found people on camera. The blacks had attacked the farms. We got camera footage of them sitting with military-grade jammers, cell jammers, radio jammers. We've got it. We've got the evidence. And the people, some of them that have been caught, are ex-military and ex-police. Or they're still involved with police, and they're actually shooting the people with their service weapons.
Huh.
That's a sickening thing about this all.
Do you all...
It's not a political thing. Come on. It's politically motivated all the way through.
Yeah, let me ask you. So how many whites have been killed since the ANC took power in 94? Is that known?
Yes, it is known. I don't have the figures in front of me because I'll tell you why. Every week it changes. I can send the figures on to you.
I think there are two sets of figures, Alex. The one is how many farmers have been killed, and then the other question is how many whites have been murdered in general. I think the farmers, people have been talking about 3,000. But then you've got tens of thousands of whites who've been murdered generally.
Yeah. Okay, so there was 5 million of you and back in maybe 94. Now there's what, maybe 4 million total? And you're saying 100,000 plus are basically willing to take up arms or already getting some training or part of some civil group?
Alex, the figures I give you are people that are physically that are able to stand up and take a gun.
Okay.
Or to bear arms. There's a lot of others that can take up, but you must understand they've reached a part of their age where they cannot walk about like we used to do.
Yeah.
And physically take the fight to them. You know, they're just too old or they've got some sort of ailment or something like that. You know, we're not young anymore. We're getting on in age. And unfortunately, our brains might be still be very sharp, but our bodies take a while to catch up. But no pain, no gain. What can we say?
So are you training them in military techniques or is it purely medical training that you guys are doing?
No. We don't let the name...
Okay.
What actually happens is we are a defense, what we call a burgerlicher defense.
Civil defense.
Civil defense. So we train the guys military tactics, bush war, we train them conventional. And then once they've reached that sort of a level of training that we are happy with, then we start training them in medical fields. Like your military technicians and that sort of stuff that you have overseas, we do exactly the same here. We call it field medical care. We take them up to level 3, and then from there we got the tech meds. And then we take them right up to become an operational emergency care practitioner. And we're doing very well now at the moment. Although lockdown has just knocked us a little bit, but that's not a problem. It's a minor setback. It's just given us time to regroup and have a look at where we stand now at the moment. So as soon as we can get back together again, everything will commence and we'll start our training again. And it's been widely sought after.
And so do you go out to the outlying regions of the country or?
What we do is we actually got a training facility here in South Africa. Now, you must understand all the stuff that we are training with, regardless what you use, especially the medical field, is expensive. So what we do then is we keep the cost down to bare minimum. So if there's like 10 people that can afford to come up here, they'll get trained here and fed here. Mm-hmm. And those that can't, we'll actually send the instructors down to wherever they are, providing they are 10 and up. And we'll actually give them the level of training that they need. And then, we carry on. We come back and we regroup. We let them go for 6 months. And then we go back and we just check up and see that they are on par and they are within the standards that we require. Because you must remember, we got a very, very high level of training. In fact, if you score anything under 85%, you will do a rerun. Because this is for our people. This is for our people that get hurt, and we want the best for our people at the end of the day. And that's how we work.
Okay, that's good to have high standards, certainly.
Correct. No, we're in very high standards. It's very easy to go and sort somebody out medically, but if you've got red flying all over the show, believe me, it's not as easy. So we train the people, especially with that. And if you take our level of training and the number of letters we throw down during training, you're either going to keep your eyes down or you're going to get a shop full of lead, one or two. So we're very strict on that sort of stuff. Some of us walk away and we hate it. And on other places, we just love it because the level of training is very high. We won't leave nobody on the battlefield, my friend. We will bring them all down regardless of what.
Now, you said you'd been in Iraq?
Correct, yes, I was. I went up there in the very beginning of Iraq before the war, well, at the beginning of the war. And we were purely there for advisory. We put a lot of the guys through that were involved in the Iraqi war, part of American forces, part of German forces, or British forces. We were doing a lot of extensive training with them in Southwest Africa in dry, humid, and very hot conditions. And when we were there, we were approached by an American organization, which is, I'm very proud to say that I was part of, which was Blackwater. And the amount of skill, and especially the medical knowledge and stuff like that we managed to bring back, I mean, it was out of this world. Alex, you've got to understand, we're still a third world country. In fact, I think we've fallen off the world somewhere along the line. So South Africa hasn't been up to par medically with the rest of the world. You know, a lot of the stuff that we had was our own techniques that we've utilized and perfected over the time. But when we got up there and I started opening, and I myself had to be retrained in a lot of the U.S. military tactics and things like that. And it was stunning. We learned a lot from each other, and we passed knowledge on to each other, and it was great. All that stuff we brought back, and this is what we're passing on now. And thanks to all that extensive training and stuff that we had, and we worked well as a team. It was fantastic working with the Allied forces, and we were there as PMOs, and we make good money. So I'm not going to cry about that, but we were well looked after, and I've never looked back since.
Okay, well, I know that you guys in South Africa had, one of the first heart transplants?
Right. Yeah, Bob, Dr. Chris Barnard.
Yeah. So what has been the story of South African medicine from that point until today?
Look, Alex, you must understand, everything was great in those days. You know, we shared a lot of knowledge and that sort of stuff. I don't know if you are very familiar with the Angolan War, how it started and whatever.
I know the communists and the U.S. is back in the anti-communist.
Correct. And South Africa got involved to fight that war on behalf of, we're not going to mention names now, I don't want to make enemies, but it was good. Basically, what happened then is everything was good. And then the anti-apartheid thing started happening. And of course, as the sanctions against us started tightening its noose around our neck, it started making things difficult for us, and we weren't getting the knowledge. I mean, from that perspective, we were very self-reliant on everything. I mean, we manufactured whatever we could in this country to stay ahead. But if you've got economical sanctions placed against you, you start falling back into the dark ages. And this is what happened. And although a lot of the stuff we armament and that sort of stuff was the best in the world at that time, regarding distance and accuracy and that sort of stuff. A lot of the other stuff started falling away. We only had one sort of engine, diesel engine in this country, and that was ADE, Atlantis Diesel Engines, which is manufactured, which is a crib of the old Mercedes motor. And you had to do with what we had. And we fought with what we did. You know, this is where we there's a lot of bitterness in our expats in this country. Well, I won't say expats, but ex-military veterans that we got in this country. And we still stand very strong. You know, to go and fight a war just to be get that country given away from them, from us.
Well, if I may interject a little bit, you know, Alex, the story of Southern Africa that you'll see over and over again with the Portuguese, with the Rhodesians, with the whites of Southwest Africa, which is now Namibia, and South Africa itself, you'll find that when the whites do things, whether it's work, whether it's fight, you'll see that the whites are always doing well. The only thing that totally screws it up for everybody is politics. That is the thing. At the end of the day, politics is the big scam. The truth of the matter is that the South Africans went in and they fought. They basically fought a Russian coalition army in Angola on behalf of the CIA. And they fought against it and they basically smashed it into the ground. There are those who say, no, it was an equal fight, etc. I've looked at the stats. I'm not going to bore you with it now. But the South African army tore the Russian and Cuban armor to pieces. And South Africa's guys won. But the whole thing, the real thing that screws it up for us is the politics. It's that whites are going and fighting, and they're not fighting for their own territory. In many ways, the South African government of the time, and for a long time, the South African government was trying very much to be friendly to the United States and to be almost a good servant of the Western world. And trying to show that, you know, we'll stand up against communism, et cetera, you know, please be easy on us and so forth. But at the end of the day, they just get screwed over. And, you know, those soldiers, those guys feel very bitter about it.
Sure. You got to defend yourself. That's what it comes down to, because the people here are just trained to think the wrong way, except for, you know, the minority understands what's going on and supports you, but you know, you got to do it for yourself. I think
absolutely. You know, and Alex, and maybe just another thing to interject here is you know, as Gavin is saying and you're saying, you know, the vast majority of whites in America and in Europe do not understand the realities of Africa. And Gavin, you know, in that sense, that is why the sort of alt-right, the alt-right media that exists, which includes people like Alex and all the others, you know, they are the only people outside of Africa who truly understand our situation, and they understand and they totally support us. And that is also why the alt-right is under intense attack from Jews and liberals and so forth, because they, if they let the alt-right carry on, the real possibility is that we can get our message through to tens of millions, hundreds of millions of whites. That's why they have to shut down shows. They have to keep things down. Otherwise, other whites would understand that we're doing nothing wrong. And they themselves are going to end up in the same situation as we're in. That's exactly what the future is.
Yeah, I mean, there's loads of recent examples. It's going the same way. Even as a minority, they're trying to boss us around because the Jews and the media are doing just what Jan says. They deplatform everybody who tries to get the truth out, and they're just constant abusive attacks on whites. and defending and promoting black criminals over whites. You know, it's just endless in the media here. And this is why whites are the majority, or 60% or whatever.
Alex, if you look at that whole thing, when the blacks had started there in your country with Black Lives Matter, the writing was on the wall already. They're trying some pathetic thing to show the rest of the world, look what's happening to us. Exactly what's happening in South Africa. We are running parallel to each other. It's just not true. They're coming with a different strategy in America. But they are not curbed now, you're going to have a lot of problems 10, 20 years from now. Absolutely. We might not be around. But what legacy and what are we leaving for our next generation? This is what we've got to look at. And we've got to fight for them. And you know, Alex, I really appreciate you being sympathetic to our cause and that sort of stuff and understanding what's happening, you know. But people on the ground here aren't, and you guys that side aren't hearing what's happening. We got a total blackout with regards to media on farmers being murdered and that sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Beginning it. Now, we've got a network that we run through of what is happening, who's been happening. And you know, Alex, you know when this really comes home is when one of your family has been attacked and murdered.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You see, these are the things that they don't understand internationally. It is happening. It's a reality. I challenge anybody. I tell you what, Alex, come to South Africa, my friend. You can live in my home. I'll feed you. I'll even protect you. I'll take you around. But you speak to the people themselves, and you'll hear what happens. We got a lawyer that has been approached by an international company, and he's been funded by that to actually make videos of the family that have been murdered, you know, the survivors of it. Mm-hmm. And it's called Project Survivor. Now, you know what? What are they doing with that video? To take a video and come so the rest of the world can see, look what's happening. Can you just for 1 minute put yourself in those poor people's shoes? That 4-year-old, that 6-year-old, or that 10-year-old child, and that wife that was brutally flippant raped and gang raped. Their granny has passed away of 84-year-old because 7 guys decided to flip and black started to rape her. And when they finished, they burnt her feet with an iron and slit her throat so that the rest of the kids could see. I can go into terrific detail here, my friend. If I had to tell you the things, you wouldn't even believe me. You stand back and say, Gavin, you're bullshitting me.
I know. I've seen it over 20 years.
It makes me sick to my stomach. But let me tell you something. This makes my heart like a fucking rock at the end of the day, my friend. That's why the day that these flippin' jungle bunnies decide they want to start this shit, they are ready for a war that they've never seen in their life before. And I tell you now, we will not abide by the Geneva Convention with them. As far as we're concerned, the Geneva Convention, the United Nations and all that are right up their asses. And I'm sick to my gut with this thing at the end of the day. Sorry, I get a bit emotional about it. This is my people that's dying. I'm in this position. I didn't select myself in this position as general for ETMG. I was selected by my people.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So this is how we go, because I've got my people's interest at heart, not my own. And I'll lay my life down for any kid, any child, or any person that bears a white skin in this country that believes in what I do.
So the right way to organize what you guys are doing is basically to not so much formalize it, but have civil defense groups that are tactically trained for medical and for fighting, and just kind of wait until blacks kick it off and then respond.
Well, look, I'll put it this way. We don't wait. We still continue our training. Every week there is training going on. Every second week, my side, I put out a list of everybody that needs to be trained, and I want to see what hours they've put into it and that sort of thing. You know, if you compare it to the Marines now again, which makes Marines very strong, because why? They practice and they practice and they practice. And this is what the same thing we are utilizing here in this country. And we get a few lazy ones here, bums along the side, but they don't need much to motivate them. they just got to hear what happened to their farmer next door and their neighbor.
So what's the spirit of most of these people that you're, of the whites in general that you're dealing with and talking to?
We're in very high spirits, but very angry. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Well, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. Alex. So we're putting it back now, and we're not getting the help internationally like we've asked for. We've put out numerous of things, letters and stuff out to the different world leaders and that sort of stuff, saying, please, before we get to a war, intervene here. But it looks like the rest of the world wants us to go to war. So then so be it, my friend. Then they must just be sympathetic once this war is finished, because it's not going to be the same. South Africa is not going to be the same, I can guarantee you. Never.
I think a couple of points, Alex, is I agree with Gavin. You know, the anger that is building up, by the time we one day get into an actual fight, you're going to see some nasty stuff. And I think the pent-up anger of the whites is going to be wild. And I totally agree with that. And
Alex,
also,
Jan, just to go on what Jan was saying now, we're very sympathetic because we're a non-profit organization. We go out and we help our people where we can. We were locked up 3 weekends ago because we were supplying food to our nation, and we were told they're not black. You can't give whites food, my friend. Now you're in fucking shit street with us, big time. No one can turn around and tell me I'm not allowed to feed my own nation. I've got a documented proof coming, that verbal diarrhea that these jungle bunnies are pushing out, are coming out of their own mouths, telling us that we are not allowed to do this because we're not black enough. Well, listen, my friend, then now you've drawn the lines. Now, I say, where's the rest of the world now that's seen this now? Are they just turning a blind eye?
This is where the mind game of the mass media, the Jewish mass media, is always trying to hide the reality, you know?
Yeah, they just call all whites are racist. And since South Africa had apartheid, it's inherently evil, and the people deserve to be tortured until they're all dead. And that's what the media basically, I mean, first of all, I don't talk about South Africa today at all, but to the extent it ever comes up, I mean, they barely talk about Europe at all, let alone South Africa. But that's their default attitude, and that's what they teach. Well, they're racist, so they deserve whatever happens to them. And now that attitude is spread toward all white people in the U.S. are guilty of being racist and have to pay infinitely and deserve to get attacked. So we actually are farther down that path than you might think, even in terms of atrocities committed against whites. It happens quite often here. It just isn't reported except locally. Whereas they make one little thing against blacks becomes national news for days and days, like the stuff in Minnesota right now, or down in Atlanta, or up in New York. Just it's a chance to abuse whites.
It is. Alex, you know, this is not just – what I'm trying to say is this is not just a South African problem. We've got to answer the problems.
No, it's a global problem. The problem is you've got – Jews are controlling the media, and they're using blacks or whatever natives they have to destroy white nations. And they're bringing them in from the outside. They'll bring in Mexicans here or third worlders. They'll bring in Africans and Muslims into Europe. They're – you know, South Africa, you already have the right numbers, where whites are a tiny minority, so they don't have to import more. But, you know, yeah, it's the same people, and it's the same people controlling the media in all these countries.
Correct. I mean, you just go onto Google and go to images and have a look for and Google white families. That's a mixed.
Yeah.
You Google black families, and they're all pot black. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
That tells me that the New World Order is starting to do something there at the end of the day, and these damn fucking Jews need to be wiped out with these darkies here in this country.
That's certainly true. The mass media and the social media are in cahoots with the government, and they're the same type of people, and they're pushing the same agenda. And then they, it's not like they allow, they're winning a competition. Like Jan was saying, they don't allow anyone to compete because they deplatform you before you can get, you start getting numbers, they kick you off. So you can't get any advertising revenue. So you can't grow. So you can't employ other people. And this is the way they maintain their monopoly.
Correct. And, correct.
You know, so, so all these efforts that everybody makes, you know, it's all like a personal little war that everybody's fighting.
Yeah.
They, and in America, Gavin, they're totally ruthless. They get people fired from their jobs. They get their careers destroyed. They get their businesses destroyed. The term for it is doxing. There's another friend of mine, Chris, who I still want to introduce to Alex. I met him in the USA. He had his people linked to him were doxed, and they had lots of hassles. Another guy that I know, they even went to his house and they painted a swastika on his house. They exposed them, and they've made the country so liberal and so anti-white that just by exposing somebody as a supposed racist gets you to lose your bank account, your job, etc. That's how bad it is in the U.S. It's terrible, actually.
No, it is. But look, I can't wait for the day they come and paint the swastika on my wall. Because that's a day I'll rejoice and I'll have a party of nature, because finally some one of their thick heads have got it through their nut. Yes, I am a racist. And so, I'll always be a damn racist.
Same here. You can't give me a higher compliment than calling me a Nazi.
Yeah, for sure, my brother. My uncle Hitler knew what to do. He just didn't do enough of it. But let me tell you something, Jan and Alex. On a serious note, they can't call me a racist because I don't hate all nations. So there's only certain population that I hate, and that's the Jews and the blacks. So I suppose in that way, legally, they can't call me racist because I don't hate anybody.
Don't worry. You'll have lots of other friends too. Make no mistake.
I was going to ask you, what kind of oversight do you have? The government spying on you, or they must be keeping tabs on you somehow?
We've had people picked up. We've had people tortured. Some of them have been let go. Some of the guys are still in. Harry Knudsen is one of the poor buggers that they've taken in, and he was just talking about things, and he got smacked. I know I'm on the list. I've been told, I've been warned already. But you know what? You can warn me as much as you want to. Alex, if you don't have people like me coming forward, and believe me, I'm not the only one. Mm-hmm. This is just going to fall on deaf ears. They've got to know where we stand, and the rest of the world must know what we're up against. So when the shit hits a fan in this country, let me tell you something, it's going to hit it hard. I just hope that Eskom's got enough power to supply the fan electricity, because I believe we're going into stages again now, stage one and stage two, because it's whenever they want more money, you find that Eskom gets going, because they've raped this country, so it's, what is left? We're going to have to rebuild this country from scratch. And be it with sticks and stones, and so be it, my friend. We're going to have to. Mm-hmm. So, but I can promise you, nothing's going to stand there. Nothing.
Well,
have
Gavin.
Have you seen Orania yourself at all, or have any opinion about that?
Yeah, I've got into plenty of trouble over Orania already. Alex, during the old apartheid era, there was talks. And what actually happened was that was sort of like our old sellouts, the old National Party sold us out big time. Mm-hmm. And that's where Orania and that came up from. You know, I don't believe in Orania. I think they're just a bunch of whites that are hiding behind something there. It's politically motivated. Obviously, a lot of them have got a lot of money to keep their trap shut and just live their little life. But I can Personally, I don't know too much about Aranya, but the little bit that I do, I don't want to know them. So, yeah, put it that way.
You want the whole country and just whites running an all-white country?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's running an all-white country. It's just that it's very backward, because I can tell you something now. You've got a lot of people in Aranya that are of high power. You buy into the scheme. You don't just get given a piece. You buy into the scheme. At the end of the day, you end up working like a slave in that place. And they will pay you what they think you need to be paid and that sort of thing. I was offered an opportunity to go through there and open up a small practice there. And I was told it's going to be a small practice. And they'll decide what clientele I have. And I said, excuse me, how does that work? And that's where I drew the line and told them to get the hell out of here. So, look, I suppose if you look at it from two different aspects, from outsiders looking in, you say, oh, that's fantastic. You go, what's that are looking after each other? Well, that's how it should be. But meantime, it's the opposite way around. You've got the haves and have-nots, and the have-nots are just going to bow down before your white brothers, and you're going to work like a dog for the rest of your life and earn what they think they're going to give you. And it's tuppence, man. I mean, whites are being paid there at a minimum wage, which we're not even paying the blacks in this country for minimum wage. So, you know, you can draw your own conclusion there at the end of the day. We have a lot of people that's been involved with that all set up, and a lot of them have got out with nothing. And it's just, you know, what happens is you must understand, let's separate the Boers. Remember, I said you get the two Boer nations in this country. Hmm. You get your true Boer nation, and then you get what I call the Cape Dutch. Now, the Cape Dutch is what I've got. I'm not going to share it with you. They're very one-sided. They, how can I put it in the English now?
So are the Cape Dutch the ones that are, they're not farmers, or the Boer farmers and the Cape Dutch or something else?
You also get your Cape Dutch,
can I throw in a few cents with here?
Of course you may. Yeah.
Alex, where the Cape Dutch thing comes from is that in the history of South Africa, you had these, let's call them the Afrikaans speakers, the sort of Dutch descendants, yeah, who became the Afrikaans speakers. There were those who left the Cape, and the Cape was a British colony. And you had those who left the Cape and created two Boer nations, the Transvaal and the Orange Free State. Now, those were two independent nations run by the people we call the Boers.
The ones who did the trek, right?
Yes. Now there's also others of those people who just stayed in the Cape all along. So you had those who left the Cape and created their own countries and were truly independent. And then you had their relatives who were living in the Cape Colony under British rule. And so when the British fought the Boers in their independent states, these Boers expected the others in the Cape to also rebel against the British and join them because they are related. And they did, and very few of them actually rebelled. And that is where you've now got a split between basically the Dutch speakers, the ones who were the original independent ones, and the others. That's why they call the others the Cape Dutch, because they stuck with the English Jewish kind of a thing.
Do the Cape Dutch even speak Afrikaans, or they speak English?
They are Afrikaans, to my knowledge. So to all intents and purposes, they look like the same people, but now there's this difference in outlook, you could say. And the Boer, you know, the Boer made his name as the tough guy. You know, he went and fought for something. And they're pissed off that these others just stuck around and just worried about money and didn't come and help their fellows, you know.
Mm-hmm. I think there's one name that sums it all up. They're very liberal.
Yes.
They are the liberals of this country.
So they're those affected are the ones by English liberalism.
Correct. They are like ostriches with their head in a hole. And what they don't see, well, that's it. You know what I mean? So yeah, we had very big loggerheads with them at the moment. They are our sellouts. They are the people that give us up and expose us for what we are. Meantime, we're fighting for their rights too.
Absolutely.
Well, what's the percentage, would you say, is made up of whites who are more or less liberal, leaving aside their ethnicity, non-Jewish whites who aren't like right-wing and just rational about it?
I would say about 50%.
Wow. So my point in asking that is because we always, oh, people got to wake up and wake up. Well, you're in the most woke situation that's possible to be in, and still half the whites still have that liberalism.
Correct, correct. And you'll get it in every country that you come in contact with. Every country is exactly the same. I mean, it's the same with America. Why doesn't the people agree with the Ku Klux Klan? Why do the people not worried about the far right and the neo-Nazism and that? They think we're all a bunch of zombies that's running around there. You know, meantime, what they don't understand, with all their education and with all whatever they've gotten, their millions and whatever their cars they drive, they think for themselves, man. They're not worried about their fellow brother. And this makes life very difficult for us at the end of the day, because they are our sellouts. They're the people that will go and give you up and report you to crimes against the state and stuff like that, you know?
If I may add something else, coming from the Rhodesian situation, Alex, you know, South Africa is very like America, and South Africa used to be so freaking rich. And even the family that, you know, because my family came from South Africa, so half of our family lived here. And the thing that I noticed a lot about our family was that the people who lived in South Africa were they only concerned themselves with money and business. And money and business was everything. And they weren't too concerned with politics. Whereas in Rhodesia, the whites were poorer and things weren't that good. And there you were forced. There the patriotism came home much more easily. And the people could stick together more easily. But I notice in America and South Africa, I think a big problem for many of these people is they still think only in business terms, that it's only, you know, all people are people may be different, but the color of their money is the same. It's just money, money, money. And mm-hmm. And people in my family, cousins of mine, they were all like that, Alex. They only thought about money. And ultimately, whites are going to discover that, you know what, the money is nothing. It's the politics that's everything. You know, money can disappear. Alex,
you were talking about earlier on about the liberals as well with the Cape Dutch. Since this lockdown happened and the hatred towards the white people from the ANC side, which is very prominent now, you find a lot of the liberals now are starting to join us.
That's good.
So their way of thinking is totally starting to change. They say, well, look, these guys have been onto something all this time. It's just perseverance and pushing your way through for the greater good of your nation. Well, of my nation, you know what I mean? Jan's part of my nation, you know? So we got to look at that. And I sympathize with a lot of guys internationally, especially with the skinheads and that in Germany. They outlawed, man. The only difference is in South Africa, the terrorists that we were fighting are the terrorists that's in power now. And they're not politicians of the ANC. They are terrorists. They were banned as terrorists right through worldwide. So what makes them any difference? They are still a terrorist in my eyes today. And their way and that they go and they brutally kill people and stuff like that is not part of my people's way of thinking. It is what we fought against all these years. I mean, you can call me a military dog or whatever you want to call me, a dogs of war, whatever you want to do. I've had this inbred into me since I was 17 years old, my friend. And we've been fighting that war. I was in the forces over just short of 20 years service to this country, for 10 years for the old regime and 10 years for the new regime. And I saw then already how things were starting to deteriorate. You know, everybody makes Mandela to be out this big peacemaker, and I don't even know why they haven't even written him into the Bible yet, but let me tell you something else. No, serious, guys. He was the biggest piece of shit walking this earth. And he was then classified as a terrorist. Cyril Ramaphosa actually planted a bomb in one of the flipping pick and pays.
Wow.
That maimed a whole lot of innocent black people. Go and check up on your history, my friend. I don't have to do anything. Everything's there. Everything's there. Go and check out them. They all were part and parcel of something at the end of the day. The guy that was in charge of our traffic ops at that time.
Yes,
which was
McBride.
How did McBride come to fame? Same thing, was a plot of bombs.
Yes.
Killed innocent kids and women. Come on, man. What are the kids have ever done to everybody? It's the same the way they're trying to push it onto you now. I, as a white South African, am not allowed to take food parcels and give them to whites that are dying of starvation.
Yeah, Alex,
now you're picking a stick for it.
That's amazing.
There's quite a lot of people, especially old people, who are struggling with food during this time. And I know of women who've been trying to help them as well.
What's the reason of the law for that?
That the blacks will get everything in this country and the whites, yous or whites, will have nothing. They want to see us whites where they were pre-94.
They
bottom line.
Alex, it was lockdown laws, and I think, you know, Alex, you can see that the blacks are enjoying their power. There was some black that I saw when this lockdown started. He said, well, these whites are going to get to feel what it is like to be locked away and stuck in their homes and everything, you know. They're going to be treated the way that it was in the townships, you know, sort of thing. But in reality, the whites actually, they actually adapted quite well. And you know what? The more they beat us with a stick, the more they will force us all together. Even in my neighborhood, I've had neighbors talk to me who've never talked to me before. And now this lockdown, I think lockdown is backfiring on the government quietly. I think it's pissed off a lot of whites, especially after the jobs that they've lost, the business losses they've taken. I think it's been a good thing.
Well, Jan, let me just tell you something. This is a nice part about everything. They even pissed off a lot of the blacks. And a lot of people say to me, yeah, it's on Yasa, but I tell you something, come and interview my blacks, it's working for me. And you hear what their story. They want the ANC out. They are tired. They are fed up. Because they've been fed bullshit. And nothing materializes of it. And they get beaten up by the military. The military has to be a backup for the police. But the military have taken charge of everything. So this is where the subtle change is now happening that the rest of the world don't know. And luckily, we got the footage to prove it. And there's no way you can deny it. There's no way you can edit that stuff to make it look the other way. But that's just what's happening. I mean, Jan, did you see what happened in Rustenburg not so long ago, 2 weeks ago?
Man,
mob attacked that guy that they wanted to actually occupy an empty house. And you know what the new law, if they're in there and you don't provide them alternative accommodation, they're in that house, if you like it or not. The banks aren't going to come to them. The banks are going to come to you. Say, where's the money for that thing? You say, well, they're not interested. They took and they beat that guy and his dog outside that guy's house. I tell you, they beat him to a pulp.
Did they
lynch mob him.
Did they kill a white?
No, they didn't kill him. They beat him. They beat him badly.
And did they occupy his house?
Yes, they moved in and occupied the house. The cops were there the next day to hear what was happening. They were there in full force because it was a black on white thing, which they had it. But meantime, it was a black on white thing. And the people that invaded the houses illegally and that sort of stuff, well just said, okay, well, don't let it happen again, okay? And they turned around and left. There's big shit about this now at the moment. There's big shit. And it's happening all the time. This is just one of the things where somebody had a camera close by and started taking it. The guy that was taking a camera, as they left, because they saw they were on camera now, they actually rode onto that guy. They wanted to knock him down. But lucky he could jump the wall and get into his yard. And as they went, they were screaming in Zulu that they're going to be back. The whites haven't seen the end of them yet. So, I mean, it's out there, bro. It's out there. They're in for us. They want us because they are fed this bullshit that we are the white monopoly power. What is that?
Yes, white monopoly capital. But in reality, the white monopoly capital of South Africa is all Jewish. None of the whites are billionaires, but
you know what? I'm glad of that, Jan, because they can take all the Jews' fucking money as far as I'm concerned. And they must just get out of this country before this shit starts, because they next.
Rest assured, the Jews are assisting these blacks and giving them help.
And why is the Jews not wanted in any country in the world? Why are they always hated in every other country besides Israel? Piss off back to your country, man. They'll stay there. That's what I say. It's one place where we can go and bomb, do a running bomb things is there on them and wipe them out. Much easier for us. Keep these bloody things away from us. You can't trust them. You can't trust none of them. And that's same thing's happening in the States now at the moment. That's Soros. Yeah. Watch out for him. I'm telling you now. Keep your eyes on him. You know who's woken up to him now lately? He's Hungary. Look what's happening in Hungary through Soros.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, I've got photos where all our ex-presidents and latest presidents of this country is standing next to him. What for?
Yeah, it's the same in every country, pretty much. Exactly. They got all their NGOs bringing in coloreds that no one wants, and the media side with Soros and the top Jew bankers. So there does have to be a revolution, basically.
You know what, Alex, if I can give you advice now, kick up dust about it now. Get them kicked back out of the country. You know, I've got a lot of respect for President Trump. When he said he wanted to build that wall, I want him to see him finish that wall. Because that's going to cut a lot of shit out of your side, bringing those illegal mongrels into your country. Because they're only there to rape your country. That's all they do. They bugger up their country. So what do they want to come to your country for? They want to come here to bugger it up. Same what's happened here with North Africa. I think we got more North Africans in South Africa than what we got Africans.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, now you get a lot of illegals there too, which people never think about. But
you know, I think the cops, you know how bad the cops have got it here. They can't even flip and arrest them anymore and chuck them out. There's just too many of them. So what they do now is they get bribes from them. And they eat them every time they catch them on street, they eat them $1,000. The cops are living pretty. They're just as corrupt as the politicians. And well, if the politicians can make money that way, why can't they? So monkey see, monkey do. And this is why, I mean, we don't even have any bylaws anymore. In the old days, if I was urinating in public, they would stop there, they'd chuck me in jail quickly. If I was drinking in public, the same thing happened. Now, they're just right past, they're not even worried. So if I can get away with that, what's the next thing I can get away with? And if I can kill a white person today, then if I go into jail, if I do go to jail, I'll be one of the top brass, man, because I accomplished something big, which they didn't do.
And they let the people out of jail as well. Alex, I don't know, Ramaphosa let a whole, said that so many thousand, I can't remember how many thousand of criminals he was going to let go. Right now,
19,000 to be
19. There you go, 19,000. 19,000 criminals are to be let free. And wow. you know what the bogus reason is that he gives for it, Alex? He says it's so that COVID doesn't spread in the jails.
Yeah, they've done that in the U.S. too.
Oh, man.
They did that in California and a bunch of states.
Jews at work, my friend. Jews at work.
Yeah, a number of them already committed more crimes.
And, yeah, Alex. We're sitting with the same agenda everywhere.
Makes sense.
So are you both in Johannesburg, or?
Yes, I stay on the outskirts of Johannesburg. And okay. I'm not out of town, and I'm not out of touch, but I'm close to you. I'm not too far away from you. So, we're based here, but our groups are with all over Southern Africa. Basically, every town we've got representation of who we are and what we are. And all that I can say is our groups are growing. Every day they're growing by 20, 30 people. That's just on the medical side. And on the other side, I mean, I think the Buddha Legion have gained another 1,000 people now in the past 3 weeks now.
Nice, nice.
So what's your relation with the Buddha Legion yourself now?
We got a brilliant, we get on like a house on fire, and we support each other. We've got an agreement with each other, which is on a handshake, and that's good enough for me, my friend.
Well, see, you guys are ahead of the U.S. We can't, and we have actually laws against paramilitary training to some extent, but we don't have anything that – there's essentially nothing you can do other than talk online, and anything beyond that, if you organize, they tend to come after you. So it seems like you're ahead of us.
Alex, let me put it this way, my friend. You're a friend of mine because you're sympathetic towards my cause. The day things start getting rough there in your place, our troubles will be sorted out. I'll come over there and I'll assist you guys. How's that?
Sounds good. we honestly are at the point where nothing short of like an army is gonna change anything, because they have the ability to invade and disrupt and suppress everything, even where whites are the majority. It's ridiculous.
It's insane, hey? And Alex, if I look at things in South Africa, there is only one way this can end, and it's in a bloodbath. And I think it's going to be like that in your country next, and Europe and the rest will follow.
See, I don't have a military background, so what I'm saying now is like, look, we have fought them with words, and basically we've won, and that's why they've kicked us off the internet as best they could. But we're now at the point we need people with professional military background to overtly organize stuff, and actually the rest flows more naturally from that than anything, because these people who are running the country are not going to give it up without a fight.
Totally.
And if we don't do anything, it's absolutely, it's going right down the escalator, you know, to where you guys are. It's already at that point. It's just, you don't ever hear about it there. Like, you're not hearing about the average attacks on whites that happen every day of the year, you know?
Yeah.
And there's plenty of them are gruesome atrocities too. They maybe not farmers, but plenty of attacks on people here.
Yeah. And nasty
it's
things.
Not covered, so.
Very nasty things that have happened to white girls, hideous things in America. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it, like Gavin said, you know, when it becomes personal, and I don't know anyone personally attacked, but like people who my brother and sister have known, you know, that close of relation, like he knew people who were in this one bar, and some black went in there and shot a bunch of them. And she knew someone, this girl who got burned in her apartment by some black that she knew, you know, set on fire. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there.
Alex, you know, I'm gonna let you into a secret now. I have a beautiful cousin. Her name is Linda. She's been living in the States now for the past 23 years.
Mm-hmm.
The night they got married, her husband was brutally murdered next to her. In a way I'm not even going to describe to you tonight, because I'll turn your stomach upside down.
Mm-hmm.
They raped her.
Yeah.
2 days later, she won the green card lottery to get into the States. She packed up and moved over there, and she's never been back. And every time I hear from her, she said to me, Gavin, get out of this country, get out of this country, come live here with us. It's the best place to be in the world. I agree. But you know what? South Africa is just such a good place. I cannot leave this country. I can't leave my people. I'm here to starve. I'll die for my people here if I have to be. Be it whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But what I take here, I want to pass on to you guys. If you guys can learn out of what's happening with us and prevent this sort of thing, then Alex, I have achieved what I have to achieve, and Jan has achieved what he has to. Now, Jan is very knowledgeable with a lot of things. I look up to this guy, and there's a lot of us guys within the group that speak very highly of Jan, and because he knows what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. And the knowledge, and I just go through some of the stuff that Jan puts on it, and I always wonder to myself, where the hell does this guy get all the stuff from? Because, my God, it's so accurate. That's a pleasure, Jan. I'm going to pat you on the back here. You've done a good job, and you've done a good job for us. Jan, it helps us in our cause at the end of the day, because we know, and it opens up to who our enemy is at the end of the day. Mm-hmm.
And, Gavin, if I may interrupt a little bit, you know, the worst thing we could do in South Africa would be for us to wimp out and to let the enormous Jewish lie spread across the world that, you know, liberalism works, all the whites of South Africa are happy, end of story, apartheid was wrong, etc. For me, I think it's much more important if we stand our ground and we stand up for ourselves, because that, you know, in my own travels to Canada and America, you know, if we do not make a stand here in South Africa, then people like Alex and all the others overseas also don't have anything that they can show to their people. You know, otherwise they walk away empty-handed and they say, well, you know, everything was good, liberalism was right. But if we stand up for ourselves, then lots of people will have to take note. And it does strengthen the right wing outside South Africa. It helps the whites, because there's so much lying that's going on in Europe and America and so forth that you know, if you just let it be, the lies will eventually triumph. But if they see, no, there's something going on and there's something wrong, then people, even normal people, will be forced to ask themselves the question, why is that stuff happening in South Africa? You know,
we have to be willing to fight back. And until people are willing to fight, nothing is going to change. So it's very heartening to hear that, yeah, we're getting actual training. Well, you wouldn't get training unless you're really willing to fight. And I don't know why we don't have ex-military in the U.S. who are willing to do that. Maybe Alex, there's a little, but there really isn't much. And maybe it's just because people think they can still move away from the problem, because the U.S. is a huge place. But we absolutely need to have whites trained to think racially and defend themselves as a race, because they are under attack.
Alex, don't you guys have a militia? I've been hearing about a militia in your country for quite a while.
Well, there's not one militia. That's like clans. There's 100. There's all the militias was a huge thing in the 90s. There are lots of different little militias, and a lot of them were not very credible, really. And they got really attacked after like Oklahoma City and in the early 90s, basically, the government went in and shut a lot of that down, or a lot of it simply dried up out of fear of being prosecuted. So there's always some militias around, but they tend to be not so much racialist as they're like constitutionalist patriot types. And they tend to be infiltrated with hostiles and overall not very effective and just kind of clownish is the history in the U.S. The ones who could do it ended up in jail. Like actually Glenn Miller was one who actually did a fair amount along those lines. And the response was to pass some law that paramilitary training was like outlawed in at least a couple of those states.
Oh, wow.
That he was active in. So it's a mixed bag on that front, but most of the ones, there's not that many left today. And most of them are kind of clownish, but it's absolutely needed something serious training. And God knows we ought to have enough veterans to do it.
But. Yeah. And you know, one of the things that I saw in the U.S., Alex, especially when I was in Memphis, my host in Memphis took me around a lot there. And Alex, the worst thing that's happening in your country is this white flight. The, you know, a couple of blacks come into a suburb and then the whites sell out and they bugger off. You know, that is such a weak response. And it's possible because America's big, but that thing eventually has to stop. And at least here in South Africa, that's the one place where I tell people that that's the one thing that I think we in Africa are a little bit, or quite a bit better at, is resisting the blacks, even though we are outnumbered. We're not as susceptible to that white flight that you guys have. And white flight's bad news. It's a silly thing. And
yeah, they're essentially driven by, they're trying to protect their property values. They're afraid they're going to lose the money in their house more than anything, and secondarily be physically attacked.
Alex, can I just ask you a personal question? Sorry, yeah.
Sure.
Your viewers, how many viewers do you have that listen to you?
Oh, it depends. I mean, I don't know. Honestly, Jan would be better equipped to answer that than I would, because he does the technical part of it.
Let me put it here this way. Discussing what we're discussing tonight, aren't you talking about a couple of – I don't want to mention the word now in case it gets into the wrong hands for you guys, because I don't want to make trouble for you guys. But if you got people listening to you, don't you think they are paramilitary as well? If I was illegal in this country as a group or an organization, I'd just go underground and just keep quiet. And the day that we are needed, we will come forward.
No. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's definitely ex-military, some cops, whatever. The feds spy on people. Well, that's what I know from personal experience. It's just large. I mean, there's so much area involved. You'd have to, the militia's got to be more of a local type thing. So, yeah.
That's what you're looking at, Alex. Don't make a mistake there. The thing is, it's got to be localized.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, you can't all come together under at one area. The logistical nightmare will be bad. So yeah. Every town would have to have its own militia to look after the people's interests within that town. And once you do that way, you can't, if you had to divide your military and your police to go out to all the different towns, they'll be thin, my friend. And let me tell you something I know for a fact. I'm an ex-brother, an ex-vet as well. And let me tell you something. Any vet, no matter where they are in the world, they're a brother of mine. Okay? Let me tell you, when the popo hits a fan, the vets will take back what they have to take back because they know what's right. And you guys have come a long way, just like we have. Our history runs very similar to each other. Now, you were asking me about my surname, Scrooby. I'm gonna just give you a little bit of a quick history lesson. In England, the Pilgrim Fathers was a name, a guy by the name of Brewster. Mm-hmm. Okay, William Brewster. He came out of the town of Scrooby. In England. And that's where your Pilgrim Fathers came in. I'll even tell you the ships they came in, because it's the same ships that came to South Africa, the sister ships. But let me tell you something. We have a long history, especially from the descendants of from the UK, of fighters that rebelled against the king that time over religion. And when they got into the country, that's where your patriots and all that started coming from. Let me tell you something. If things start going pear-shaped in your country, you'll have people standing up. And you know what the nice thing about it is? You'll have us to back you up as well at the end of the day. And I'm prepared to send my group over there should you require no hassles.
I'm all in favor of whites helping whites in race wars everywhere. That's my dream, yes. I tell you.
It is a global problem.
And I will tell you a little bit, among my own followers, I've often come across veterans who listen to my stuff. And even when I was in the US at the Fash Bash, I actually met a guy who'd been fighting in the Middle East, ex-US Army, and really very, very fit guy, young guy, and we had some very good chats. And Alex, even when I was in Canada at one of my talks, there was a naval officer who came and spoke to me afterwards. I do think that Gavin's got a point in that not every, I think what Gavin is saying is that not everybody is going to be a traitor, that there is going to come a, that not, there's going to come a time where even the normal guys who used to be in the police, used to be in the army, they're going to say, you know what, enough's enough. And I tend to think that as well. When I look back on my discussions with people, Alex, there may be people who you don't think that they'll do anything. But for example, one of the guys who put up money for the Fash Bash, when I spoke to him and got to know him about his background, he'd been a policeman, and at a point he'd even been in military intelligence. And now he's a National Socialist. And he's very quiet, and he protects his identity and everything, but he's very genuine. And I met other people like that. I think that there are, let's call them the quiet whites, the whites who are not visible, but don't think everybody's just brainless. They aren't saying anything, and they're not doing anything in public, but they're not stupid, and they are listening. And another thing I saw, Alex, I was looking at charts on trends. I was looking at podcasts. Podcasts, the audiences for podcasts are just increasing across the USA. People are getting more and more of their news from podcasts. They're dumping the mass media. And I think the long term is very positive in that sense.
Well, they just paid Joe Rogan, who's got like the most popular podcast, 100 million to go to Spotify, which is pretty remarkable.
Wow. Nice.
But look, guys, I'm always sympathetic to our cause and the white race. If you need me for anything, you're more than welcome to push on my buttons. I'm here for you guys.
Okay.
I'm going to take you up on some of your friends.
Oh, with the greatest of pleasure, my friend. With the greatest of pleasure. Although a lot of my friends are very hot at the moment, so they are too shit scared to move. And so, and I think you know his background, who we're talking about. And,
yes.
We won't say who it is.
Yes.
Yeah. But I've worked with him. I've worked closely with him. I've taken the brunt for it, so I don't mind. I'll stick my cock on the block at the end of the day. I don't mind. I'll take one for my nation. So
okay.
So well, they can come pick me up and do it with me what they want, but they can't stop me. That's the beauty about it.
Gavin.
That.
Okay. Well,
speaking out is important. Okay.
We have to.
Yeah. That's about the questions I've got. Jan, do you have anything more we ought to talk about or you want to ask Gavin?
I think for today, I think we've covered the main things that we need to talk about. I think we can come back with more specialized stuff in the future. But
okay, I find it very heartening that people are willing to prepare to fight, which is to prepare to win in probably the worst circumstances that any whites find themselves on the globe. So it's very exciting, and I'm glad to hear it. It's inspiring, and I hope a lot of Americans appreciate that. We have to fight and defend what's ours and not give it away like we have been for a long time now.
Alex,
Can I just come in with something quickly?
Yes.
Okay.
I want you to understand quickly. I think I'm going to sum this up in a few seconds. We fought Angola, which was part of Southwest Africa. It was part of South Africa. We lost that. It was given away. We came back to this country, which we fought for, And that was given away. We've lost everything. We've lost our dignity. We've lost who we are. We've lost our culture. We've lost a lot of things. But we're regaining it. Now, you got a war with somebody that's lost everything. What have you got?
You've got nothing to lose, my friend.
And everything to win. Everything to gain.
We've got more to win. We got more to win than we've got to lose. So that, the enemy, must be well aware of when they decide that to pick up arms. Let me tell you something. Because they are in a bloodbath. Is not gonna. I'm telling you now, listen to what I'm saying to you. A bloodbath is going to be nothing. Nothing compared to us. But I tell you, once this war is finished, it will be respected worldwide.
Gavin, you think
most of them, are you speaking for yourself, or you think that most of the people feel like that you're talking to in training and everything? That's the general sentiment among a lot of more people? Or
let me tell you something. You can't believe after training what a confidence booster this is. I've got women, stunning, beautiful women. When you look at them, you think they are Miss Congeniality or whatever they are. Mm-hmm. They are heartless, my friend. They are prepared to take up arms with us. I wanted my wife to leave this country when it's tough for the fans so that I can consolidate. And she said to me, there's no ways. She'll be right next to me wherever I go. That's even the woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know what?
That's excellent.
You don't understand, Alex. You got to come to this country, my friend. You got to come and have a look and experience for yourself. I'm part of the alliance. I'm the Surgeon General of the alliance, the Buddha mm-hmm. Alliance. If you listen to our people every day we are calming people down. Guys, not time's not right. Just wait, just wait, just wait. The anger level, we call it the Murmeter.
Moor is Afrikaans for anger or to hit. So, yeah.
How do you spell that?
Moer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Moormeter. And that's like your like a rev counter in your car. And we're sitting in red at the moment, my friend.
Alex.
If your car only revs to 8,000 RPM, we're sitting at 20,000 RPM at the moment. We're ready to go. Like you can't believe it. We are ready.
Alex.
That's wonderful to hear.
Alex, one thing I must tell you about many of these Christians in South Africa. If you sit and you talk to these people in these organizations face to face and you talk to them about the situation and the blacks and stuff, Alex, these people, these whites get so fucking worked up. I'm thinking especially of an engineer who I have a lot of respect for at one of the groups near where I live. And that guy said to me, he said, Jan, I used to have to go and deal with Eskom. I couldn't take it anymore. I had to send other people to go and talk because he's ready to freaking hit those blacks. I'm telling you, Alex, if this thing has to break one day, you're going to see a kind of violence coming out of these people. They have been using their Christianity and their white discipline, because whites are disciplined. They've been doing everything to hold it fucking in. But if they had to be themselves today, they would just want to grab a rifle, go out and blow somebody away. That's how they feel inside. And if you actually talk to some of them about what they'd like to see, and maybe, Alex, in one of our shows, I must tell you a little bit of what I'd call the dreams of the Boers. If you had to know what they say among themselves, even as Christians, the things that they say, you won't believe that this comes out of the mouth of a Christian. I've had discussions with friends who've said, man, If we go to war this time, we kill everything. We don't care. Man, woman, child, we kill anything that's in our path. And I said, I'm in total agreement with you, man. And two final things from me, Alex, is when the Boers fought the Boer War, if you go and you read Mein Kampf, I've done a video about this, but in Mein Kampf, Adolf Hitler talks about when he was a young man. And Gavin, when Adolf Hitler was a young man, he said he used to rush off to grab the newspapers because he was so fascinated by, and he described it, this gigantic struggle that was taking place in South Africa. Adolf Hitler was absolutely, as a young guy, he was absolutely infatuated with what the Boers were doing. And later on, he had other sympathies for the Boers. But he describes in Mein Kampf how it touched him. It affected him. And so, you know, we think we're sitting here in Africa, but we forget that our race, our people are all over the show. And even if we die, they are going to know what we did and why we did it. And it will echo. And, you know, on the topic of like the Boer and the Afrikaner, I used to say in the past, I said to people, you know, if the Afrikaner wants to do the right thing, he should actually want to be like a Boer. Because why is the Boer remembered? If you ask whites outside South Africa, you know, are they Afrikaners, are they Boers? The whites outside South Africa will only know the name Boer. And why will they know it? Because only the Boers ever fought for anything. The Afrikaners didn't. And, you know, you mustn't forget those kinds of things. And another thing, Alex talking there, he's saying how inspiring it is for him that we who are totally outnumbered and in a really bad situation, if we were to stand up and do something, it will be so inspiring for them. And Napoleon himself used to say that you gain inspiration from history. And we must look at this not just as ourselves, but as the effect that we can have on our people, that other whites out there will look on us and say, wow, look at those guys go. And my final words that I'm going to say is this. When I look at Rhodesia, when I look at South Africa and the way that whites everywhere across Africa handed over power to blacks, handed over functioning countries to blacks, that was wrong, man. That was wrong. If these motherfuckers want South Africa, it must be over our dead bodies, and we must fight for every inch of South Africa. And that which does not belong to us must be burned to the ground and blown sky high. There must be nothing left. When they take over something that belonged to us, it must be a burnt ruin littered with corpses, nothing else. These fucking bastards must get absolutely nothing from the white man.
Great. John, if right. I can just close with a few things. Sorry, Alex.
Go ahead.
I want to stress this point out. Whites are under threat worldwide. We're becoming less and less of a majority, and we're becoming the minority. What I do want to say to you is whatever fight we pick up here, we are doing for our kind, the whites, the supreme race.
Definitely. Definitely.
And I want people to think of that at the end of the day. And if they don't believe me, have a look around you, my friend. See what's happening. If we're going to fight this fight and we're going to give you the inspiration that you need to carry the fight on where you are, with or without help, so be it. Then we've achieved our objective tonight. I want the people, the whites in this country and internationally, to start opening their eyes and see what the fuck is happening around them. Because by the time they wake up, it's going to be too damn late. They're going to be sitting where we're sitting today. And our situation is purely because of international pressure. But that's going to be a different fight for another day. But at the moment, let's look at our race and the salvation of our race, and we need to carry on.
Yeah, I think if you stay strong there and retake your country, the international pressure, which is just the Jewish media, will still be there. But if you believe in yourself and stick to it, nothing can stop you. They can't do anything about it.
Alex, the Jewish media won't be in this country. That I can believe you. Because yeah. I'm going to make media look like a flipping altar boy when I'm finished with this country.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They can be from outside the country, but they're never going to come around. But if you can win it back, there's nothing they can do about it.
And remember, whatever dealings they had with this government that's in power now is between them. It's got nothing to do with us when we get into power back in. And this can be very shortly, within the next 2 years, my friend. You're going to see shit fly in this country like you've never seen it before. This will be unheard of.
All right. Well, I look forward to it.
And I'll book you a ringside seat, my friend, with popcorn.
Well, maybe I will get over there sometime. We'll see.
I think in the time to come, Alex must definitely come to South Africa. I've been saying the same thing to him. We must definitely have him over here.
It sounds like a heck of a country. Okay, well, we should probably wrap up. We've been going on for a while. Well, we've had a fascinating look at inside South Africa today from Gavin Scrooby, who is the Surgeon General, you were for the Boer Legion, and you are for your own unit now, or you're the head of your own unit now that does medical tactical training in South Africa.
I'm the general of my unit now, which I've been voted in for, but I'm also the Surgeon General of the whole Boer Alliance.
Boer Alliance.
That's correct, yes.
Surgeon General of the Boer Alliance. Anyone wishing to get in contact, do you have any website or anywhere you want people to contact you at?
They can contact me with no problem. They can contact me at Gavin, Gavin, at dnamedicalgroup.co.za.
And Gavin, you can also give me any links and things that you want me to put out with the video, then I'll put it out.
Awesome. Well, the first one we got to send to is the Boer Legion and then to the Alliance as well. So I know there'll be, my phone's going off a hooky already here. People are just dying to find out what the hell's happening. You know what I mean? The more we can get our message out there, the more pro it is for everybody. Anyone that's got a sympathetic ear and is prepared to put two and two together, well, they're welcome on us.
Okay. Well, thanks for listening to Team White, and we'll be back with you again real, real soon.
These are Alex Linder's websites, www.alexlinder.com, pyville.net. That's his Twitter type of website, www.vnnforum.com. You'll find a ton of information on there. And then his news website, which is www.kirksvilletoday.com. These are my websites: historyreview.com, africancrisis.info, and white-shop.biz. This is my attempt to try and do some Jew-free trading and experimenting with the next level of stuff. So, thank you very much for listening. We'll be chatting again soon. Take care of yourselves.